Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big stories in tech, all the shiz that's happened this week, all the stuff that's gone on. And I've got to say, I've been a bit out of the loop this week. Normally I'm okay, I keep abreast of the stories, but I haven't done a great deal. So I'm looking forward to being illuminated by a fantastic panel. Starting us off, at top of the shop, Mr. Green.
Hey!
How the devil are you, buddy?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm all right. You're still working away?
Yes, in sunny Newcastle, and it looks like my next project, or Australians would say project, is going to be in Germany, Munich, of all places.
Wow. So.
Nice. Don't mention the war.
I'm terrible for it. I'm absolutely, it's like Tourette's, I can't help myself. I really can't. When I was in Switzerland, the amount of blooming Hitler jokes came out with was ridiculous.
Oh, mate, don't do that.
But I sort of got away with it, I think.
We did.
The Germans are lovely, and they have a good sense of humour, and they laugh at themselves. Like, we can laugh at ourselves. You know?
It depends. Yeah, but I can imagine that you could go over that point.
Yes, probably.
Rapidly. No, we took Ellis to Germany years ago, and we did say to him about, you know, like the atrocities of the Second World War. And he said, did the Germans do that? No, the Nazis did that. They were different, not Germans, Nazis. So, and he kind of got that. There you go. Just think that it's not the Germans' will, it's the Nazis, and they're no longer around. Hopefully.
Okay.
And stay away from the frigging Hitler jokes, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, well, they were quite funny, though. But even the Nazis, the Germans laughed at them a little bit.
So have you met any canny lassies while you've been up there?
Well, up here,
you're not
yes, I have met one, but no, I'm quite happy and settled with my young lady, so that's good.
Oh, excellent, mate. Good on you. Next to him, Jeffrey Gamet. How's it going there?
It's going awesome, and it's so great to see you, Ewan.
And you, mate. Except you don't see me, I only see you. What's been happening this week for you?
There's been a lot of running around and trying to not breathe forest fire smoke from California.
Has it been wafting that far?
Oh, yeah, the entire state is covered. You would think the fires were here.
And you can smell
it. Smoke there is. Yeah.
You're smelling California burning. It's not a song by the Eagles or anything like that.
Not an Eagles song. Nope. No. And most days you can't see the sky because there's that much smoke. It's crazy.
Oh, man. Bad news. It's still in the north of California, or is it moving around? Getting further south?
As far as I know, it's still Northern California.
I know it's a big place, though. Got a lot to do. Next to him, Atlee. How's life, buddy?
How's it going?
I'm all right, mate. How's the app come along for access to GeekShed?
It's coming along. It's coming along. So I was actually just working on it now.
You're going to release this for BTN listeners, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to be releasing it pretty soon. I got to get some of you guys to chime in and be willing to test it. So I'm working on getting up to you guys for beta testing it. I'm just waiting on the store at this point.
Excellent, mate. What's the ESP on the ETA on the Windows show?
I think we're looking at starting them in 1st of September.
Brilliant.
Around the 1st of September. Yeah.
I've had a few emails, mate. People are excited about that.
That's great. Well, forward some along to me. I'd like to hear sort of what they're saying, what they're looking for.
Oh, I use Mac, so I deleted them. Sorry, man.
Ah, okay. That's okay. No, that's fine. Anybody that wants to reach out to me on Twitter at Atlee Hunter can ping me on what they'd like to hear about about Microsoft and what they.
Did you see
like
the exchange with Chris Hammett and Big Chris Ashley?
Sorry, say that again.
Did you see the exchange with Chris Hammett and Big Chris Ashley on Twitter?
No, I missed it. I missed it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll need to forward that on to you then, because CC you into it, because it's a good conversation about joining in the Windows show. So yeah, perfect.
Definitely. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
And last but by no means least, looking preoccupied, Ian Grant.
I was just thinking that. Hello, Atlee. I'm a Windows engineer. Happy to come and chat with you if you want.
Oh, that's awesome.
But right there you go.
If you want somebody to come on with you, give me a shout. Hit me up. That's what I do for a living. I work on Windows servers.
That's awesome. That's great. So, yeah, it's fantastic. You and I will have a lot of great chats. I've done a lot of work on Windows servers myself.
So, yeah. Otherwise, hello, everybody. I'm back again as usual. Having fun.
So you're not in
home,
a
home this week. I'm not in a hotel. Next week, I think I've been invited on, and I will be in a hotel.
Okay. So praying for good Wi-Fi then.
Yeah, hopefully I might even get wired there. The hotel I've got wired.
Cool. And in the window liquor seats, we've got Muller and Ellis again. Ellis has not changed his shirt, which makes me bother because that means that shirt probably is the only thing holding him upright.
What?
It's probably got more intelligence than you have at the moment.
No. No, I didn't wear this
definitely
last week.
It's definitely got more culture.
Did I wear this last week?
Yeah, you wore that last week, dude.
That was a nice subtle joke. I like that.
It has been washed.
We need to we need to get a rotor of clothing so you don't look like we treat you badly.
They do. £2 a month.
Teenagers do that. They only seem to have two items of clothing.
If you come on that next week, it looks like we'll be calling social services.
So. £2 a month could save me.
Yeah. And Muller is the executive producer.
Hello.
He doesn't respect authority, mate. What can I say? The week in tech, all the shiz that's gone on, all the things that have been happening. I have really been out of it this week. So who's got the first story and who's going to educate me as to the week in tech? Because I have nothing to give this week at all.
Can I go first?
No. You need to put your story in the chat room. You're not in the chat room.
I have something ready to go, but I'm not dropping it in the chat room yet to give you a chance to go first.
Go on. We'll just go first anyway, and we'll make up a link as we go. Go on.
Hold on. So I've logged in and there.
Nothing.
Oh, no.
No, no.
That worked well.
Oh, you are in the chat room. Yes, you are. Well done, mate. Superb. Huffington Post story, no less.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Japanese sex doll doubles as unique drink dispenser. Mate, this has got not safe for work written on it. Why have you brought... I can't even go to the I can get the page because it hasn't finished loading. There you go. But now I'll go back. And you've got a story from...
What? That's a thing.
6 months old.
And it's a thing?
And it's an eight-month-old story. Go on, tell us about it.
Well, it is a little bit old, but I like to find interesting stories. So it's like a robot. That it's a drink dispenser. And so if you want a drink, you squeeze its tits, basically.
It's appendages, yeah.
And the drink comes out of its nipple. And so you just put your glass there and we're all good.
And I thought social services would be turning up for him wearing the same clothes.
No, I'm in the corner.
Now we find out where he's wearing the same clothes.
Yeah.
I'm watching the video for this right now, and oh, my God.
It is quite funny.
Oh my God.
I think maybe thankfully the video is not loaded on mine.
Choose ice cubes.
But you actually have to
oh, don't get where you get the ice cube from.
And there's a link to the video and oh my God. Okay, so here's my problem with this doll.
You can't afford it.
You squeeze one breath and the drink comes out of the other nipple.
Oh, is that a bad design thing?
That's no, I'd say that's good.
It should come out of the same breast.
No, it depends, because you can't. Don't, Japanese, slightly smaller boob size, so it might be too hard to squeeze and drink, so. I'm only guessing.
Do you need the link for this video?
Yeah, I can't watch the video because it's not loaded on my screen. So
I'm dropping it in the chat room.
Liveleak.com.
Yeah,
I love that the URL is Live Leak.
Yeah, I know. It's lovely, isn't it? So, so that really is my contribution to the...
oh, no, she's
to the cultural...
She's quite an enigmatic young lady, is she not?
Are you meant to actually just...
You and I'm pretty sure
that looked like some very accurate controls. Look,
yeah.
God.
I've seen many things in my... I think I've seen everything now.
Don't swear, thank you.
I have seen everything now.
It's bad enough.
Is
I'm
there
showing
anything? Is there anything left? Actually, no, I can think of it.
The red wine is just wrong. The red wine is wrong.
The red wine is
totally
wrong. No, that's not. I need to. I'm not going to have to blur all this anyway now. And you
everything
swore in
is
it.
Wrong.
Don't swear, please.
All right.
Everything is wrong.
Yeah, no, that's no good.
But it is a tech story. She's a robot.
Well, okay, you've loosely got me there. $5,000 for this thing.
Yes, no, it's a lot of money. But I think if we sort of want to move it on to a serious aspect of, well, the Japanese seem to love their sex toys, don't they? And don't they say that the sex industry really is, that's what builds the sort of, so much IT, what's the word I'm looking for? Not progression, but innovation comes from the sex industry.
Wait,
when
was,
it comes
that was
to
just did, hang on, that was only when we did Betamax or VHS. It's not forever.
No, no. If you look at the internet, for example, that was driven by the sex industry, and a lot of the HTML5, I think, was driven by the sex industry. So there's a lot to you know, for us to say thank you to them. And you can also have a nice drink out of a lady's nipples as well. I wonder if you can put milk in it.
Well, it wouldn't be. You'd have to clean it out thoroughly afterwards, otherwise it's going to get a bit smelly in it. So
yes, I suppose so.
Not wise.
But I think there is a valid point to say that. Technology-wise, there's a lot that has come out of the sex industry. And I'm fairly sure HTML5 came out of that as well.
So HTML5 was able to take off faster. So HTML, CSS3, that took off faster because the sex industry decided that they were no longer going to use Flash. So that accelerated the end of life for Flash and accelerated the adoption of HTML5 and CSS3.
Deep Pan's put in the chat room, our electric car is going to be driven by the sex industry as well, because I'll have one.
I like that.
No, but high-end electric cars will probably come with one of these bars in them.
You won't believe what the gear shift looks like.
Oh, moving on. Ellis left the chat room. Thank God.
Oh, man.
Bob Beach says, can we have a serious story? You grumpy old baby boomer. I'm not sure, Will. When we get here and we have a story, and I say, bring a story about tech that we can discuss.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you thought we were going to discuss at that point.
Well, I thought I made valid points with a slight comedic aspect to it, and I thought Jeff sort of summed it up really well, and I think he agreed with me. You, Jeff?
Well, fine.
If we're agreeing that you shouldn't put red wine into this robot, yes, we are so on the same page.
Red wine's messed up, definitely. Bob Beach has told me where to go and what to do when I get there.
Reasonable.
I'm only 13 minutes into the show and I've pissed Bob off. Yes.
Doesn't take much. No, I think he's pissed off even before the show begins.
No, absolutely. Thanks, mate. Jeff, what's your story? Save us.
I don't know how any of us can follow that story. But I'm bringing the Magic Leap 1 today.
The Magic... Yeah. Oh, tell us more, mate.
Okay, so people are getting a hold of Magic Leap 1, which is the AR-VR kind of mixed reality glasses thing. And the promise that Magic Leap has been making about the One is that this is the headset that goes leaps and bounds beyond where we are with AR headsets today. And they're wrong. It's very limited, and you can't use it outside hardly at all, which is something that they were promoting initially. And when you get close to objects, parts of the objects will get cut off because it has a narrow field of vision. So I'm looking at this, and what I see is a lot of hype and proof that augmented reality and heads-up displays as part of our regular life, this stuff is still years away.
It doesn't look particularly light and friendly. I mean, it's hardly Google Glass, is it?
True. Yeah, it is. Google Glass was at least less obtrusive. But what Magic Leap is offering here, it's still a big clunky headset on your face. So I'm thinking anyone that thinks Apple or Microsoft or anyone else is going to come out with true glasses size heads-up display, cool technology for this kind of stuff in the next couple of years is going to be very disappointed, because I think we're still years away from this being something that the mainstream will be interested in and is going to make its way out of bedrooms and VR stores.
Atlee Yoda has put a comment in the chat room, dying it is. So go on, Atlee, tell us why it's dying it is.
Oh, no. That's I put up a choice on which thing I was going to bring up. And then when he brought Magic Leap up, I was like, okay, well, I guess that's my other choice, which was a couple of companies that are in trouble. So it's a different talk. So it's not about this.
I think that is a valid point, though, because you look at Oculus Rift, they've done nothing. I mean, we go on about this, you know, I've been doing this since the 70s and seen no real leaps forward in VR technology that comes to market and actually astounds people. I know the PlayStation VR is quite good at the moment, but the headset market, they're cumbersome, they're heavy, they're crap if you wear glasses with a prescription in them, they're sod all use. I've got one up here that you put your phone into, and I can't watch it. I've got a set of glasses that are 10 years old that I have to wear because they're the only ones that will fit underneath it, and then I still can't see the porn in proper stereoscopic vision.
Which is really frustrating.
It is, absolutely.
So the funny thing is, I think you bring up a good point. I think that when we know that all of this technology is going to really hit the mainstream, it's usually about 3 to 5 years after porn picks it up.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. It's true. If you look at everything, almost everything that we use, a lot of it was popularized and the technology was advanced by the use of porn on the internet. I mean, if you look at streaming, you look at, video streaming, audio streaming, a lot of these things, these technologies were originally pushed forward a lot by the porn industry, because the porn industry has so much disposable income.
I mean, you'd think this sort of thing would be a thing that the porn industry go, something completely immersive like a headset. I'm not going to try and get too far down what you can do, but we can all imagine something as immersive as a headset.
Well, you can charge for what you're doing. That's the point.
As a thing, that would be fantastic, but no one's picked the thing up. I've seen nothing that convinces me that any of these VR headsets are anything more than just white elephants.
Well, I've skimmed through.
Really, I haven't.
I've skimmed through the whole video there, and the one thing that's apparent is there's lots of pictures of her. There's lots of pictures of her wearing it. There's lots of pictures of it, but there's not. There's very few pictures of it showing you what it looks like. There's the one on Mount Everest, and there's another one that's got like a machine, and that's it. There is nothing there that makes it look like I'm going, wow. Everything I'm seeing here is the virtual reality view of this concept.
And have you seen
it's all pictures of her staring, looking around, going, aren't I fantastic?
Have you seen
how immersive it is, or what's the experience like? I mean, Microsoft does a really good job when they were doing some of their mixed reality headset stuff. At one of their conferences a couple of years back, they did a fantastic job of showing sort of what the experience was and what it was going to look like. But I mean, with 3.5 hours of battery life, I mean, this isn't the kind of thing that you're going to get stuck on, because you're going to just get into using it and feeling comfortable with it and everything else, and you have to turn it off because the batteries are dead.
Yeah. Ian, you were saying?
These things are lasting 5 and 6 hours. I think that you're going to see a lot of problems with even any type of long-term adoption, even by gamers, because gamers, I mean, gamers will sit there and play for 5, 6, 7 hours. There's no way anybody's going to buy two or three of these $2,300 headsets.
Yeah.
So at least have a couple external charging. Although I have like, I have 5 game controllers here so that if I'm playing and a game controller dies, I can just grab another one.
Yeah. Ian, you were saying?
Only thing I was saying was that I'm scrolling down looking at it and it's still not a handy thing, as you said, because the headset thing, oh, well, if it's only that, that's not so bad. And then you scroll down, this honking great thing you've got to hang on your belt. There must be the power pack for it and the controller. Because they thought, oh, that must all be in there because the headset, because there's all that band around the back of the lady's head when you see it actually on her head if you scroll right down in the article. And you think, oh, it must all be in there, but no, no, there's more of it. Yeah, no, it's still not ready for the prime time in any way. It's a shame.
The technology,
you can see right how now, that technology could be great. You can see, I mean, in industry-wise, you could see how design work could happen where you could stand there with a VR headset and it becomes the, oh, what was that movie with Tom Cruise in it where they're waving their arms about?
Minority Report.
All of that kind of thing where you could see them there pulling bits in and have these headsets on and building 3D objects. And they'd be able to turn it around and look at it in real time. And all that sounds fantastic. Great, let's have some of that. But where is it? It's not there yet, is it? Just some light in it. But where is it? It's not there yet, is it?
The big thing is the technology is, you're right, the technology is not ready yet for prime use. I mean, I've been saying this for the last couple of years, mixed reality, augmented reality. It's cool. It's one of those sort of, yeah, I've got this fun thing, but it's one of those things you tend to lose interest in fairly quickly after a while. I mean, unless you're using it for work in some way, but at 3.5 hours, again, it comes down to this battery life and the longevity of how long it lasts. 3.5 hours, I mean, what company's going to say, okay, well, you can work for half a day because this is the device you're using for it. There's a lot of places where the technology's falling short from what the probable or realistic use cases should be. So right now, it's a gimmick.
Yeah, but don't forget that's 3.5 hours with a battery you can't change yourself. If it's a user serviceable battery, 3.5 hours is fine.
Yeah, and if they had a pop-out battery pack, you could pop in a new battery pack. It'd be like the old VHS recorders where your recorder or you know, like having a camcorder or something, you could pop out the battery and put it in. You're right. I mean, the fact that they haven't thought past that shows that they're not fully thinking of the use cases or where this is actually going. This is sort of like, hey, we want to show we can do it, but we haven't really figured out exactly where we're going to do it and who's going to do it with it.
Yeah.
Any sickness?
Use the mic. There's a good chat. Use the mic. It's not on then. Who's been messing with it?
Is there any sickness associated with it, like you do with those 3D glasses and stuff? I mean, because it looks heavy as well, so your bridge of your nose is going to be hurting.
We had a guy, Rob, who came to the Bash a couple of years ago, and he bought 2 Oculus Rift with him that his firm were using for development. And he put a couple of games on there to play, and one of them was just like you were on a tube, but you were stuck to the outside of the tube, not inside of it. So you could roll around the tube and do 360 on it as you went through, and you could branch off and go down different tubes. And I started playing it, and I wasn't that good at it. And then I realized that actually I could get significantly better at it if I looked where I was going on the screen rather than looking at what was in front of me like you would on a normal game. So I'm using the Oculus Rift to sit and drive along the pipe. I know where I am, but I'm looking up over here because I want to go up over there, and then I'd go over there. And as soon as I started doing that, I wanted to chuck. It was pretty violent. It made a massive difference. Whereas if you just sit and look straight ahead, it's fine, but then you don't get the immersive experience. And when you try and get the immersive experience, you are prone to motion sickness.
It also looks heavy.
Yeah, it's not. None of them are light. None of them are pleasant. None of them are light.
So after about half an hour, your nose is going to be painful. Just like an uncomfortable pair of glasses.
I don't know. It depends
on how they did the headset. The HoloLens has got a grip that goes around your scalp, and you'd think that this thing would be really heavy, but it's insanely comfortable to wear. Like, you don't feel it on your nose at all. You actually barely touches your nose. So if they've done something similar to that, then it should be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
But it will be sore on your neck. I mean, moving your head around and everything else or, you know, a work day, or for, you know, 4 or 5 hours playing games, even 3 hours, the battery life, you're going to be tired.
But also, it's going to tire your eyes out, because where's it focusing? Isn't that a problem?
Well, so this is another interesting point. I was at a meeting on Friday, and there was a lady there who said, I've got a project with a car manufacturer. They want people to sit in a simulator who can use like a Fitbit or an Apple Watch, and they want to drive the simulator and do some tests on them. And I was like, okay, that's cool. But she said, I don't think you can wear glasses. Okay, well, that's not going to work then. Why? She said, they alter the depth that you're looking at on the screen. I said, yeah, but the screen is always going to be at the fixed length. So they can mimic depth of field on that screen, but they can't mimic where the screen is. So if I can't see the pixels clearly, they won't be clear regardless. They'll just be degrees of blur, and that's it. And she went, oh, right, okay. So I'll have to check with them if you can wear glasses or not. And I couldn't, so I couldn't do the test. But it is a fixed focal distance, and all of those eye things, they are at a fixed focal distance. You can't focus on that length. Then I'm sure there is a, and we need to mark on here rather than me talking rubbish, not knowing what I'm talking about. But I can't see it wouldn't be a fixed focal length.
That's been my problem with almost every headset that I've tried. I can't use my glasses with them, and I can't focus on the point that they have. So they're these clunky, uncomfortable, unwieldy face tumors that don't work.
No. How much do you want it to work? You really want it to work, don't you? That's the trouble.
Yeah, you want it to work. I mean, the whole concept is really cool. What I want is a Star Trek holodeck. And this is as close as we're going to get for a long time. And the experience sucks.
And it's not close.
I think that's the problem. I think that they've got to get away from the fact that we have to wear the computer. And it needs to be in a situation where the computer detects us. So I think that the concepts like Kinect and things like that are closer to where the future needs to be than these things that I'm strapping to my head and now can't really fully see the world around me. I think augmented reality does an awful lot better than this VR. VR will be great for very, very specific situations. But even in the case where you want a VR experience, you're going to want it in, like you said, like a holodeck type experience. That is the usable experience.
But I think that's the other thing as well. With the VR games that I've played, I've managed to hold my phone up. And I've got visual reference points out of my peripheral vision. So they don't make me feel I want to chunder. And actually, having a T-Rex walking towards you and walking past you and you following it around with your phone, or walking around your IKEA chair when it's positioned. And we've done it in this office. We sat down and we've put in there that we've got the chairs side by side, the real chair and the VR chair, and it's exactly the right size. It's unreal. Superb. That's the thing I really like about it. I've got more time for AR than I have for VR by a long way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think VR, I mean, it's all very well in its concepts and stuff, and maybe in years and years to come, it'll be great for gaming and all that sort of stuff. But at the moment, I totally agree with you. AR is the way to go, isn't it? I think you mentioned the IKEA thing and previously and that's just awesome. So we say yes to AR and we say no to VR.
All those in favor of VR, all those in favor of AR.
Yay.
Totally.
Yay.
There we go. Brilliant. We want D-Space. You remember the Daniel Suarez thing? I want D-Space where I can look at someone and it goes, this is Max. This is Fred. This is Janice. This is Sonia. Mm-hmm. Oh, Sonia, how you doing? Without her knowing that I've just been told by my glasses that it's her. That's what we need. Everyone's got to have a badge that's got a QR code on that my glasses can read and tell me who you are. Or retinal scanning. There we go. Even better. Super. Mm-hmm. Good story, Jeff.
More of my data they can lose.
Yeah, I won't be buying one of these. Not at 2,300. They've got to make they've got to make these things at $500 or less, and they've got to work like slick as snot. Otherwise, I'm not interested, and no one else is either. Next story. Who's got one?
I've got a choice. Do you want to hear about free speech, or do you want to hear about Elon Musk?
I'm afraid, mate, that Attlee's beat you to it.
Has he? Oh,
he's done you. You were sitting there ready. You were talking. Attlee was doing. Here's the difference.
Like it took me a while, but I'm trying to figure out how things work around here.
Yeah, exactly. First come, first serve, dude. You're in.
Shaboom. Okay, so we're going to talk about two little things, the same thing, but they're very similar, I think, in respect. One is the Newton email service is shutting down in September. So if you're spending that $100 a year to have an email client on your smartphone or on your smart device, you should go hunting for your refund.
Do you know what? I absolutely loathe mail. I hate it as a thing. It's not good. It's horrible. But I've used two or three mail apps over the years, and every time Google has bought them or something's happened where they've had to, you know, Sparks or something like that has shut it. I can't remember what it was called, the one that had the paper plane on it. And it was just like they've shut it down and it's gone. And it's just like, crap, because I've got into that mode of thinking. I've got into the format and the way you lay everything out. I'm finally there. And you shut the sodding thing down, and I've got to go back and start learning a new interface. And mail, the way mail groups my emails together is horrific. It's awful.
Yeah, and Newton apparently was one of the, I mean, anybody that I've heard that uses it, I didn't personally use it because I wasn't going to pay $100 for an email client when I try to use the ones that already come with the systems. And it just, I mean, they had over 40,000 subscribers, and they were paying roughly $100 a year each, and they couldn't make the company go.
How can that not work?
Well, I mean, that to me isn't that $4 million?
Yeah,
in subscribers per year, and if you can't make your how big is your company? I mean, you're making an email client; it can't be that massive.
You can't change that much.
It brings a whole bunch of questions to mind, but I mean, I know that the people that had Newton really, really liked it. I mean, they grumped about the price, but when it came down to it, I mean, if you're willing to pay $100 for an email client, you must really, really like it. And they are now on the way out. Another interesting story sort of related to that is Snapchat seems to have lost 3 million users in the last couple of months.
Okay. Any theories why?
All of a sudden, and so some people are starting to say it's the, what was it? One article I saw is it's the middle of the end for Snapchat.
So hang on, we'll dump into me son here. Ellis, you're a big Snapchat user.
Yeah.
Are people moving away from it and going to WhatsApp or something else, or are they?
I've seen a lot of things on people's stories that they're like quitting Snapchat. They're like, might just delete this social media. And I saw it this morning on a story, and it was like, they've lost so many people, but they've gained more revenue. And I'm thinking,
where have they got the revenue from then?
We don't know. They've lost
the glasses.
They've lost 3 million, but they've gained more money.
Bloody hell.
It's really funny. Their revenue's gone up, but their users have gone down. But it's interesting because I think that what a lot of people are saying is that once Instagram instituted the stories feature, their users shot through the roof, and Snapchat users started to dwindle off because it was the big differentiator between the two services. And so while Instagram has, also Instagram's got the backing of Facebook, so they've got money for days. Snapchat, it's kind of funny that they finally seem to figure out how to monetize their model, and they're starting to lose users. So it sort of goes together with the idea of, that other company had people paying a premium and yet couldn't make it work. And Snapchat's now losing users once they finally figured out how to monetize. So it seems to be that there's, I think you're going to start seeing a big shift in how apps are both monetizing, and how you're going to start seeing some gobbling up of players and a lot of fall-offs of players that you didn't expect to see go over the next year or two, because the markets have gotten, the app markets have gotten mature, and they have now started to function like a lot of the other markets do. And so you're going to start seeing a lot of weird, strange fall-offs like this. And it could be a very, very interesting year, especially in the realm of social media, because it's such a highly competitive market.
It's not a one-trick pony, is it, for each one, though? It's not a one-horse field. There's people use different platforms for different things. I mean, I certainly do. I get one thing from Twitter. I get one thing from Slack. I get a completely different thing from Facebook. And the people that I talk to on Facebook, I never talk to on either of the two platforms.
Yeah, but there's 10 or 11. There's 7 or 8 Snapchats. There's 7 or 8 Slacks. There's 7 or 8 other things. And you're going to see a lot of those getting pulled together. I mean, you've got Slack and Teams and HipChat and all these others. And you saw that Slack just bought HipChat last week or the week before. So, you're going to start seeing a lot. Like I said, you're seeing this market mature. And so I think you're going to see a lot of amalgamation of these things. And it's kind of saddening, because with the number of choices that we have with all these different apps and features and technologies and platforms, some of those features that you love are going to disappear.
There's an interesting story that Ian's just chucked into the chat room to support this. Snapchat photo filters are linked to a rise in cosmetic surgery. So people are labeling Snapchat dysmorphia.
Dysmorphia.
Yeah.
And so basically their Snapchat filters are making their skins lighter, clearer, paler, more enhanced cheekbones, that kind of stuff. And people are wanting to look like that all the time.
And it doesn't matter what I do, I can't seem to get the puppy ears. I just can't, no matter what I do. I've tried working out, I've tried dieting, no puppy ears.
Is that a baldness thing, though?
It might be.
No, he's just seeing the wrong doctor.
It's there's no bald dogs.
I'm going to the vet. Oh, that's not. No, and there's, I mean, yeah, that's a big problem. I think that Snapchat's not the only one that'll have that issue. But yeah, we've sort of faked out ourselves in a lot of ways. And I think that there's a lot of problems coming from that aspect of it. But yeah, I mean, there's also some people that are abandoning some of these social platforms for the loss of data, for the loss of, time in their lives, for a lot of things like the body dysmorphia that people are getting from these obsessions with trying to look perfect.
I know our teens here seem to be, it's the only way they communicate with one another. It's either Instagram or Snapchat.
I've got to notice that the alien face, where you've got big wide eyes and then cheekbones and then coming down to a pointy chin, that is used an awful lot on social media.
Or the anime face, where you got the big,
the big eyes.
The big puppy dog eyes. Yeah, it's when you see that people use that as their primary picture on Facebook, you start to worry about them.
Yeah.
It's not healthy. But it's very surprising. The teens around here all seem to still be massively obsessed with Snapchat and Instagram. So I don't see it dying. I think this...
Well, not if they're making more money.
For the 30-second attention span teenager, it's perfect. Look at it. There's a picture of a thing. It goes away again. And I still don't... I've had it explained to me by both of our teenagers. I still don't get the fact I have to take a picture of myself in order to send a picture. And then, of course, they'll take a picture of something that isn't themselves and then still send the picture to send a message. And I just don't. I suppose it's the grey air. I'm just too old.
Mm. Duck face should be banned, says
Muller. Completely.
Seconded.
Facebook was around a lot longer than Instagram was, and then once Instagram was made, a lot of younger people went to Instagram, because Facebook now you typically see like parents and stuff like that, like a stereotype. You get more younger people on things like Snapchat and Instagram, even things like Yubo, WhatsApp, stuff like that. And when Snapchat came out with stories, that was like a new thing and loads of people moved to Snapchat. And now that Instagram has stories, they've also moved straight over to that as well.
So I can't follow you on Snapchat, can I, like I can on Facebook? You have to accept me. Is that right?
Yeah.
You can't be just like a blank follow. Like I can watch your profile on Facebook and you let me. But like on Instagram, on Twitter I can follow you, and on Instagram I can follow you without any, you have no knowledge I'm following you.
That depends whether
you go for a private account.
It depends on how you set your settings, because I think on both Instagram and on Facebook you can set it so that only people that I've approved or that I know are that I'm friends with. So you basically end up with a back and forth sort of handshake collaboration.
Yeah.
That you're gonna know each other on social media. But yeah.
You sent a request.
Yeah. As a younger person myself.
Oh God.
I didn't like that very much. Yeah, I will say it again. As a younger person, all right then. But as a middle-aged man, I do find it very difficult to keep up with the trends of all these various bits and pieces. I do Twitter, I don't do Facebook, Snapchat, what's the other ones going on? Google Plus seems to have sort of died a death, doesn't it? That was their social media.
Google Plus never even took off.
Buzz is still going well, though.
It's good.
And MySpace.
Friends died. Reunited, that's brilliant. Love it.
Bebo, whatever it was called.
Well, you lot can just sod off, can't you? I'm down with the kids. I know what it's all about.
Yeah, that's why you brought a story that was 10 years old last week.
I know. That was... I accept my maturity. But yeah, I do get confused because it's forever changing, isn't it? The new media and social media is forever changing. And is that just like a little bubble, I wonder, a technology bubble over sort of about a 5-year period that we keep going through all of these changes, and that maybe one day we'll find a sort of a common consistency of ways to communicate?
I see social media like I see music. It's tastes, and tastes change. Mm-hmm. So you go from, you know, punk to new romantics to rocking to R&B to hip-hop. You know, there's a smorgasbord out there, and those will evolve, and there will always be one that is the one that's top of the charts, if you like, but that will rotate. Mm. It's an ever-changing field, completely movable piece, because people will get different things from different things constantly.
So. Yeah, but social media is about sharing your emotions as well. You can share your emotions on there. You can share your opinions.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that the platform that people will choose to do that emotional sharing will change on a constant basis because there'll be a popular one all the time. And that popular one will roll from something else, from something else, from something else. So whoever's riding high at the moment, just you're counting it in days and hours until it moves on. Good story.
It's whatever technology seems to pick up the discourse. I mean, it ends up whatever thing seems to be the coolest or the best way to get the information across or to be able to allow you to share what you want to do the way you want to do it. And I think that's one of my points is with all these technologies starting to go away and to die, we're going to lose a lot of the choice that allows us to express individually the way we want to express things because we'll be stuck to several smaller choices. And with these choices sort of amalgamating, you end up with these behemoths like Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat that sort of easily squash out some of the other players. So it makes it much harder for other players to sort of disrupt or upset the network.
That's right. Muller's just put a joke in the chat room. Fortnite's a terrible name for a game. It's 2 week.
Oh,
that is
a damn joke.
Slow
down. Get out.
I think also WhatsApp is possibly worth a mention, isn't it? I mean, that's been a bit of a revolution, isn't it? When it comes to sort of social media and that sort of thing.
It was, yeah, when you read it as a story, but it's 3 years old by now, dude.
Right. But you can sod off, can't you? All of you.
Tom's giving kudos to Muller for that joke. That's not okay.
Yeah, you're only going to encourage him. Stop it.
To be fair, actually, with Tom in the chat room, when you did your story on Newton email, Atlee, he did think you were referring to the Newton, the email server for the Newton tablet from Apple. So.
That makes sense.
Great. Granty, have you got a story, boy?
Yes, I have. Which do you want? Do you want? What do we fancy talking about? Oh, do you prefer Elon Musk or free speech and Alex Jones, that lunatic?
Oh, I don't know. No, don't do Alex Jones. He's a twat.
Well, exactly.
Someone showed me a video of his, and it was a picture of a Sky bloke looking very, very still, it had to be said. And then he started, the guy asked the question and then kind of froze a little bit, and he started the question and it zoomed in like an effect that Sky would never have. And he said, "That's a really great question, Tom. Thank you very much." And it was made to look like it was a proper Sky TV interview. And someone retweeted it. I think it was Dave, actually, who's in the chat room. And he said he retweeted it. And I just went, fake, fake, fake. No one goes that long uninterrupted on Sky television. Twat. No, so don't do it. Alex Jones, a moron.
Let's go for the other. He's either a genius or he's a madman. I'm not sure which. Elon Musk is either a genius or a madman. Well, let's face it, he's our generation's Howard Hughes, isn't he?
Well, if you're talking about the spruce goose, yes.
Yes. And living on top of a tower block drinking his own wee, but no.
really long fingernails.
Yes, exactly. But no, the interesting thing is he's going to take his company private now. Because he's taking it off the market.
Yeah, I saw that this morning, yeah.
Yeah, some of his board members were aware of it. I mean, there's others saying they're surprised. None of the banks have actually come forward to say what they think of it yet. I mean, it's an interesting thing because what he's trying to do is taking control back for his business because the market was driving effectively very short. I mean, the view is stock markets are very short term. So the thought is, that's kind of restricting almost how he can work. And if he gets away from the glare of publicity because he isn't on the market, maybe he can do more and he got more control over his business. So who knows? So it sounds interesting again. Like I say, I'm not sure whether he's a genius or a madman. But it's very. I'm finding it more and more interesting as time boggles on. I mean, he does some good stuff. I mean, all the patents for the Tesla cars are out there in the open, aren't they? I mean, they're not. And the battery technology that they use, there if you want to use it. So, I mean, that puts him up where as a decent sort of, as vaguely a decent human there. Even if he is a bit mad and maybe lives under a mountain.
He's got some great utopian ideas and stuff like that. But, I mean, he, in terms of business, he came up with an amazing business in eBay and PayPal. But I'm sorry, he's broke. All of his projects are broke.
Projects are broke, yes.
All of his projects are leveraged to the hilt, to quote Tom VF. He owes 108 million... he owes people $10 billion and he needs billions more to take it private. So he's got to borrow the money to go back to pay the money he owes to make the company to being private again.
Yeah, we talked about that last time I was on and it's just madness, all of the,
But if someone actually says yes to that and gives him money, you're talking about a subprime bubble almost.
Billions are the same everywhere now.
Because it's a loan to pay off a loan.
I had this conversation the other day. Billions are billions wherever you are now. There's no million anymore.
Or thousand. It's 1,000 million, isn't it?
Yeah. It's all 1,000 million. A billion is 1,000 million. There isn't the proper billion that Muller's referring to in the chat room is a million million, which was what a billion used to be. But sadly, it's not anymore. It's 1,000 million. And that's, I think, mathematical standard now. So people that know better than me tell me.
Atlee, are you trying to talk? Yeah, you're on mute, dude.
Take it off mute, mate.
You just put...
No, that's fine. That's fine. No. Okay.
All right, mate. Cool.
I have a quick question.
I'm getting feedback from you, though, Atlee. You need to put earphones in, mate. Go on. Who's got a question?
Me.
Go on, dude.
I don't understand this whole military space for...
That's Muller's put that in. Ignore Muller's links. Don't click Muller's links, for Christ's sake.
I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, how the hell are they going to fire hand cannons?
Ellis, there's a story just below that says Britons are angry because the pound is worth nothing. The pound is still worth more than the dollar. As long as I'm alive, the pound will still be worth more than the dollar.
That just got me thinking. I'm looking at that. I'm like, how are they going to shoot a gun in space?
but it works.
Ellis, Ellis, you still haven't listened, have you? Don't click Muller's links. Don't read Muller's stories. Don't believe Muller's stories. Okay? Are we clear?
All right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good. Space. Right, there we go.
It's space.com. Oh, it's all right then.
Don't, dude, he sucks you back. He pulls you out and he sucks you back in again. You sucker. You conspiracy theory gullible muppet.
I was just thinking how it actually worked. It's like,
is this the voice?
Dude, you're still in there. It's bollocks. It's utter bollocks. Walk away.
I'm going to say, Nick, because I'm curious now. I
no,
know.
It's
I
utter know. Bollocks. Walk I
wanna,
away.
I want to know how they fire a gun in space.
You can't.
Exactly, you can't, so what's the point of making a military force in space?
It's a Muller link. There's no, oh, I wonder what Muller's put in it. Just ignore Muller.
How about lasers? You could do lasers, couldn't you?
You could do lasers.
There you go, that's a thought. Are we going to make laser guns?
Rail guns.
Well, of course they are.
Rail guns?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's bullets.
Yeah, no, but they can't. Fast enough to hurt you.
Oh, dude, there's a thing that fires electronically that fires bullets, and it can do a million rounds a second.
Oh, you're on about the one which
where they're all stacked up, yeah. And
I saw
it
that.
Pops them, yeah.
Yeah, American.
But don't click Muller's links, mate. Don't start discussions with Muller.
No, just stop being curious.
They're designed. It's like a spider's web. He's pulling you in, and then he'll roll you up in a web and eat you, okay? Mentally. Step away.
Just suck the brains right out of you.
Put down the URL and step away, Ellis.
Step away from the browser, young man. Step away from the browser.
It's an important life lesson right there.
Don't go to the HTTP. Don't look at the HTTP. Don't post it again, Muller, you moron.
He can't help himself.
Bob, who's an economist, has confirmed, yes, a billion is 1,000 million.
Yes.
Ivan Trump said it now.
That's got to be true. Then,
right, he's worse. He's even worse than Muller. Don't read anything. Let's go back.
I'm not kidding.
James Crater, US Space Force.
No. God. What are you doing, Ian? Step away.
Well, I come into madness. There's nothing wrong with a bit of crackers. I mean, after the robot at the start of the show, nothing can get worse.
There's nothing wrong with a bit of crackers except Muller is the entire Jacobs factory.
Nothing but a fruit
of crackers.
One Monday, through a wrench into the Pentagon's carefully laid
don't
out...
Don't read a story. Don't read a quote from a Muller story. Don't click the URL. Stop. Stop. I'm going to end the podcast otherwise. It was a great story. Anything to add, Ian?
No, just that... interesting. Elon Musk, more interesting.
Visionary. Thing. I like the idea of his solar panelled roof tiles, but I can't get them. That's the problem with him.
No.
I want some. I'll buy his roof tiles. I'll have my entire house redone in his roof tiles, but I can't. That's his problem.
Yes.
This podcast and others is brought to you by TSO Host. Yeah, we love them. They have stepped in, they have picked up our servers, they are giving us bandwidth, and they are killing it. Thank you so much. We've transferred in the domains, we've transferred a lot of the websites over. The live channel is now being broadcast via, you are watching us from the TSO Host server. That's how good it is. It's absolutely fantastic. Please, please, please support them. We're getting offer codes and all that kind of stuff. We've had a bit of a problem getting stuff set up. I've spoken to Sarah there. And she's on it, but she's got other things that have taken her attention at the moment. So, fair enough. We'll leave it alone and we'll grab it when we possibly can. But if you're coming up to domain time, we're going to be able to transfer them into to TSO Host, no problem. If you've got an active domain now, you can transfer it over to TSO Host without any cost anyway. So that doesn't make any difference. But please, 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 if you want us to keep on the air, you have to say thank you to the sponsors. A few of you did last week. Thank you very much. Oh, I haven't posted last week's show yet, so do apologise. But a few of you did this week. Please make sure you take to Twitter, you take to Facebook, you take to Instagram, whatever it is, and say thanks to @TSOHosts for supporting @BritishTech, because we really would be stuffed, mate. Up Pooh Creek and using our hands. The other thing to say thank you for is the fantastic software that lets me do all this, Wirecast. It's provided to us by Telestream.net, who also provide the fantastic ScreenFlow. They've got ScreenFlow 10 out at the moment. It's an amazing piece of software. We're going to try and get an NFR version of them, and we're going to get a review up for it. But if you've got like a sports venue that you want to broadcast stuff, if you've got pan tilt zoom cameras around your site and you want to broadcast those as well, you can. And if you've got a place of worship or anything like that, then Wirecast is fantastic. Check it out. There's a free trial for you to have a go on it and see how you get along. We've also got Ooh Review. Now then, and we've had a few Ooh Reviews. Most notably, we've had one from anonymous person that says Muller's technique for microphone and camera are unparalleled. Good of you to get involved, Muller, and write that review for us. Thank you. Because there isn't another living person on the planet that would have written that.
Well, no, it could be unparalleled. That doesn't mean it's good.
But apart from that, no one's left any comments. They've just left the stars, and they're all 5 stars, apart from one I think was a 3-star for audio quality. But thank you very much. We are looking at them. And we'll get a little trend analysis and we'll see what we're doing. And if it's audio quality, I'll do my best to improve it, I promise. But all you've got to do is go to ooreview.com/British Tech Network. It's that simple. ooh.com/British Tech Network. And that's the landing page that you'll come to. And all you've got to do is, you haven't got a feedback code, don't worry about it. But click on give your review and then it'll ask you the specific time when you listened. Thanks also to someone, because it was anonymous, see, who wrote in from somewhere in the Western American seaboard, because they wrote in and said, I was out for a walk, I was listening at my normal time, I tried to do a new review, and it got a glitch that wouldn't let the world time drop over. So I forwarded that on to a review, and I saw Steve this week, and he was over the moon that someone had bothered to give him some feedback, so he got a little glitch that he could get rid of it. If they're back to the developers, they got it done and it's sorted out now, so it shouldn't be a problem. That's the kind of stuff we really want. You're bench testing this for him and you're also giving us feedback as well so that we can improve. Please check it out. And you can use it for your own businesses. It's a great tool. So I know Steve really well, the guy that's done the development. I really want to support him because he is a fantastic, nice guy. And he wants to do, effectively, Ooh Review is like a focus group, if you like. So if you've got a shop, if you've got a business, if you develop apps like Atlee, he can sign up for a review. People can leave anonymous reviews of his apps with glitches in and stuff like that, things he can feedback. He can read those. He can say, right, okay, I'll change that. And he can reply to the person that's left the review, and they still remain anonymous, so they don't have to worry about being outed or anything. If you're into a software development, you should think about using it. It's really, really cool. Right. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, though I am absolutely bricking it now. Mr. Green.
Thank you very much. You know, this is an American invention, or so, you know, you get those sort of Hoovers, well, or vacuums.
Yeah, yeah.
The little robotic things. You can also buy them for your garden to mow the grass.
Yeah.
Great, but they cost an absolute fortune. So there's this American gentleman who he's taken a drone apart and a lawnmower apart and also a video camera, and he can, using a remote control, but, you know, like the old school FM ones, and he's made this little robot, well, or whatever you want to call it, to be able to mow his lawn, or he sits with a beer watching the telly and he can mow his lawn.
So
that's it, really.
Is this real? Because I would have thought that there would be quite a resistance from the blades on the grass when they're cutting, so that they might unseat the stability of the drone.
No, it works really well. There's a video. I'll just whack it in the chat room.
Put a link in the chat room.
Doing it. There it is. Yeah, it's really worth looking at the video. because the lawnmower's doing a great job. And so the concept of just sort of sitting, watching the TV and controlling your lawnmower as it does your work,
oh, the
it seems great.
Taken down.
Hmm?
RC, the hang on, I can't find it. It's not there. They've taken it down.
Oh, wait, no. When I thought there's a YouTube.
Yeah, but they're not for, that's remote controls. It's not for, it's not for drones, though. It's like remote control cars.
Well, let me put the, I was sort of only watching it half an hour ago, and let me try this one.
This is great audio, isn't it?
It's brilliant, isn't it? I love it. Oh no, that's exactly the same.
That's exactly the same. We'll find the video and we'll insert it at this point. Thank you, Will. Fantastic story.
You haven't even seen it.
Well,
it's an old guy. He's sitting there with his sort of, you know, those remote controls.
We got you. I heard you. I know what you're saying, mate. I do believe you. I just can't see it because you haven't posted the link.
Yeah, but. But all I'm saying is he uses you know the same remote controls he used for your model aircraft, and he uses that to control his lawnmower.
Excellent, mate. Superb. Thank you very much.
liar.
No, find the link. Well, now while you got time, and I'll play it afterwards. Jeffrey, save us.
Okay, so my pick, it's this robot out of Japan where you squeeze one boob and alcohol comes. Actually, no, but it is a robot. So Anki, the company that makes this little thing, the Cosmo, they're making something that looks almost exactly like this.
Right.
That's called Vector. And the Vector version of this little robot, instead of relying on your smartphone for a lot of the processing that it needs to do, it has the whole computer system built into it. So there, what Anki is doing is making robot toys to fund what they really want to do, which is make useful robotic assistants. And so Vector is the first step towards that end goal, because it's a you know, it's kind of a toy, but it also is a personal assistant. And it, so you talk to it, it can give you answers, it can keep track of your schedule, and it learns to recognize specific people. So when someone walks in the room, it can proclaim very excited, "Hi, Ewan."
Cool.
So, yeah, so it's coming out in early October, and they're doing a Kickstarter, which is really just a pre-order program.
How does the robot know it's me? Because that would bother me.
Because it has cameras in it, so it's doing facial recognition.
See, this is all a bit Skynet.
Yeah. But at least in this case, it's a cute little Skynet that fits in the palm of your hand, so it's not like it can actually make a machine gun and shoot you.
Ellis has just reminded me I wasn't scared of the iPhone 10, so he might have a valid
connected
point.
The internet can download the pattern.
Yeah, but it doesn't cut the grass, though, does it?
No. Just no, on that point, sorry, Jeff. Don't wish to usurp your thing. No, that's just a car, dude. That doesn't look like a...
What?
This is a car. It's not a drone.
Yes, it is. Watch the video.
I'm watching the video. It's a car. It's got four wheels. Yeah, I know, but it's not a drone.
Yeah, that's not a drone.
That's a car.
Yeah, no, the technology that he used, part of it was drone technology to make it. He made it himself.
Right, so
that's good madman in a shed stuff, that.
It's just a remote control car I'm not as impressed anymore now, Will. When I thought it was a drone that was flying, I was really impressed.
Oh, no, it's not a drone as in flying. I never said it was a drone. I said they used the technology from the drone to make it work. Now, you watch, if you give it a bit more time,
go on.
When you actually see it cut the grass. And you'll see the old bastard just sitting in his chair.
Yeah, it's a Roomba that cleans you, does your grass, yes.
But look at the cut. Just 1 second. Before we dismiss it, look at the cut.
No wonder he's driving it like he is pissed on beer.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably is. But it's pretty awesome, though, isn't it?
No.
Look at that. Look at the cut.
I was dead impressed when I thought it was going to be a drone, and I believed you as well.
Only half cut. But how could a flying drone cut the grass?
The guy's driving his half cut.
Once he figures out how to do this where he doesn't have to sit in his house with a remote control and steer it, where it can figure out how to do all this on its own, then it's really cool.
I'm just sitting thinking, you lazy bastard.
I know. He's ace, isn't he? Look at him.
Just wind up the fat boy.
Couldn't you like map it and give it like...
Yes. You could like actually put repeaters on it so it would know where to go and where the grass was and wasn't.
Yeah.
Except he hasn't. He's just got a remote control car.
You know, for as much money as he put in this, why doesn't he just pay a neighbor kid to mow his lawn?
Exactly. That's about 5 months worth of lawn mowing.
Well, I like it anyway. I'm going to get one.
Well done. Well done. Well done.
Sorry, I don't have a video of a guy sitting in his lounger chair to go along with the Vector robot.
Now, the Anki, I just want to finish off one question. The Anki Vector robot looks like it's got a Wally type scoop on the front. Is that what that is?
It's the same scoop that's on the Cosmo.
Right.
So it has little hooks on it, and so it works like a push bar, and then it also hooks onto like in the case of the Cosmo, there's these little like GameCube things that it can attach to, so you can play games with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I saw these ages ago, and they can cooperate, can't they? And they make funny faces.
Yeah, you can code the Cosmo so that you can have multiple robots working together. Yeah,
they weren't that expensive, if I remember right. They're only about $100 or something. You could have a few of them, and they work together.
50, I think.
But they might come down in price.
Yeah, they're not that expensive. So, but the Cosmo is designed to be more of an educational tool.
Yeah.
Whereas the Vector, while it's still totally programmable, is designed to be more of a personal assistant type tool.
Atlee's posted a very big warning story that says that study shows humans can be emotionally manipulated by robots. So be careful.
I figured it was a good counter argument to his point.
Yeah, and I do not doubt that even in the slightest.
Also, Deep Pan has posted in the chat room, Bosch already do this. So Bosch do a 400-watt garden vacuum thing that moves around the garden by itself and cuts only the grass and nothing else for 900 quid. So, yes.
Well, I mean, there it is. That's good. But £900, this guy did it for about 200, I think.
Okay. Yeah, great, mate. Great. Fantastic. Brilliant story.
But look, you Atlee, keep bringing it up. I am brought it up again.
We're done now. We're done now. We're moving on. Don't worry. Okay. Atlee, what have you got for us?
Well, with the launch of the Surface Go, I figured it was good to show one of the new cases that's become available for it. Actually, this is a UAG. They make really, really great rugged cases. Actually, I make sure that I coat all of my wife's tech in these because we have big dogs that tend to knock things around. So she has a Metropolis on her current Surface, and when she gets a Surface Go, we'll definitely be putting one of those on it. It's a fantastic case. They're very, very rugged. They're very, very easy to use, and they don't hamper the use of the device at all. I just highly recommend them.
Is this the one that they threw to the floor out of a skydive?
I think it might be, yes.
Yeah, they jumped out of a plane and just really threw it.
One of our customers is a fire and rescue service in the UK, way down in Devon, And I was there talking to some of their guys, and they've got these on surfaces. The fire crews take out with them. So it can survive that kind of work.
Yeah, they're fantastically affordable too. They're $69.95 for the Metro Metropolis and the $99.95 for the Plasma. If you need a little bit more, protection.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Like that.
Yeah.
Ian, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got a little travel router thing that does like DNL streamer. There's the link. This is it. I'm just me hold it up to the middle of the camera so you can see the thing. It's made by a company called Hutu, again, one of these randomly named Chinese vendors. It's a small travel router. If you open these little flaps on the side, you've got an Ethernet port and you've got a USB.
These two are laughing because they thought you were going to say if you open the flaps on the side, alcohol comes out.
Comes out.
Where the ice cubes come from?
Oh, that's it from there.
Where did the ice cubes come from?
Sorry, carry on, mate.
So it's a power bank. It's four things in one. I borrowed this off a mate. I'm still seeing whether I want to buy one myself, but I think it's quite a cool bit of gear. It's a 10,000 milliamp power bank, got a DNLA server built into it, and it's a Wi-Fi router built into it. So if, like me, you're traveling a bit just lately, you can hook a USB stick or a hard drive in the back of it with a load of films on it. And then you can stream over to that, and you can stream over to your iPad. And you can plug it in. And if you've got shonky Wi-Fi in your hotel room, which I almost inevitably have, you can, if you've got a wire connection, which some of the places I stay do have, you can plug this in and you can have your own Wi-Fi access point. So, and I can charge my phone up with it. Excellent. So it all seems like quite a good thing. They're about £40.
$42.99 on Amazon.
Yes. On Amazon. And which it seems like cheap. It's quite a neat little device. There's a little interface on it. It's not the cleverest thing in the world, but it works pretty well. You can use VLC on your iPad or whatever, and you can stream, picks it up as a DNLA server, and you can stream whatever you've stuck on the hard drive.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Like that. Like that a lot. Muller, have you got a pick for us, or you're not worried?
I got one if you want it. It's a freebie, though. I just got to go. I wasn't expecting to be asked, so I'll just go into my. It's a podcast, and it's one that basically it's based on the QI program. So you may have seen it, and it's is that coming up? Have I put the
wrong? Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah.
Oh no! It's Slack.
It's no such thing as a fish podcast. Hold on, I think I've got the copy link. Yeah, I posted the wrong link. Does that come up? Yeah, it's no such thing as a fish. So it's the elves themselves, and basically it's just basically what Stephen Fry used to say. Only it comes from the people who actually write the shows, or doing all these facts. And so it's well worth a listen. It's easy listening. You learn a little bit occasionally, and that's it.
Excellent, mate.
That's cool.
Is it kind of like the Fry and what's it podcast? You actually do learn something.
You do learn something. Yeah, they tackle subjects. They have a particular subject and they come out with facts about that particular subject. Some of the facts are a little bit outlandish, but they are facts. Yeah. So you know, and they've just done a tour of Australasia as well. So they've just come back.
I've been trying to catch up on Rutherford and Fry since you mentioned it, and I'm nearly there now.
Yeah, they're only 10, 15 minutes, so they're not long. They've got a new series starting in a couple of weeks. So.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Excellent. Infinite Monkey Cage has got a new series out, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've been listening to that, yeah.
I haven't yet.
Oh, if you want a recommendation for a podcast I've been liking just recently, and there's Revisionist History by Malcolm Gladwell. He's very good. Really interesting stuff. All manner of bits of stuff you'd never have thought about.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And Ellis, you haven't got a cool thing, but you want to do your Twitch stream, and you're going to do a learning session, aren't you, formally?
Yeah.
For Fortnite, for the old farts.
Yeah.
So it's been booked for Tuesday night.
9 p.m.
9 p.m. Matt Cast is going to get his ass handed to him in...
Playgrounds.
That's on
awesome.
twitch.tv/skyline1015.
Yeah.
Wow, there we go.
All right, go on then. Come on then.
Have you even downloaded Fortnite, Muller? Thought you talk rubbish. Yes, no, I didn't think so. It's hard.
Any of you are free to tag along if you want to.
So you got to look for your gamer tag, which is Skyline 1015.
The gamer tag that you'll be adding me off of Epic Friends is Mason Turve.
Oh, right, not Skyline 1015.
No.
Okay, Mason Turve. I don't know what all this means, but carry on.
I haven't got a clue what anybody's talking about now.
Masonterv. Yeah. And then if you want to watch Twitch TV, you need all of these unified, mate. This is rubbish. Skyline 1015 on twitch.tv/Skyline1015. And you can watch Muller. Not Muller. That'd be worth paying for. Mattcast at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any are free to tag along.
Yeah, cool. Brilliant. They will be. Where can we get a hold of you, Monsieur Green? Oh, I forgot to say. If you give us a new review, you go into a draw because they've got a draw facility and we can you can win a My Band. You remember Robert Falk brought a My Band the other week? We've got one of those each month to give away from now till Christmas. So there you go. Anyone who leaves a new review will go into the draw. We will draw a person at random. They will get a tag. And you're going, oh, well, how are we going to keep it so it's anonymous? Who reviewed all the postage and everything for you? There you go. See? Perfect. Brilliant. Greeny, where the hell can we get hold of you?
Well, initially, I suppose my most popular one is BritishMac.com. And you can email me on will@britishmac.com, or you can follow me at BritishMac on Twitter. So I'm pretty much 80% of the way there now with interviews and stuff like that for the new British Mac, and with all its loveliness. But I've also started and I'm working on a new podcast. Listen, Ranky, don't take the piss.
I haven't said a word. It's these two laughing, not me. The fact it's been a year since you did a British Mac podcast could be a limiting factor, but go ahead.
No, okay. Well, it's not been a year. It's February this year.
All right, sorry, my mistake.
So, sorry about eight. Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, pernickety. But anyway, the second podcast, which is, I've always been into the paranormal, and ghostcast.co.uk. The website's not up, the podcast's not up yet, but I'm putting my feelers around and exploring the world of the paranormal. So ghostcast or ghostcast, whichever, .co.uk is a new place to find me as well. What do you think to that then?
If you actually do one, awesome.
Yes, I will. I'm excited about it. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And he was saying, I am bored with Apple. So Apple has been my life for probably 20 years or something. And I'm slightly bored of them too. Okay. They seem to have lost their magic. What do you think?
Well, it's not the Mac show, so are you coming on the Mac show tomorrow?
No, I'm working.
Oh, sorry, pal. So we'll we can't discuss it here.
Oh, okay.
All right, mate. Sorry, pal. But that's the way the shows work. That's why it's called the Big Show and not the Mac Show.
Okay. It is something to do with technology. But I do feel they've lost the magic. And anyway, there it is.
All right, mate. Thank you. Jeff, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Over at the Mac Observer, of course. I'd like to point out that I'm the guy from the Mac Observer. And I'm not the one that is bringing up Apple stuff.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah. Anyhow,
I haven't either. It was an innocent and simple question. That was all.
Okay. Well, he gave you an innocent and simple answer.
And I'm giving you a hard time because I can. Anyhow, so I'm on a bunch of podcasts, Daily Observations, Apple Context Machine, here on the Big Show. And if I can ever sort out my calendar, I'll be on the Mac show more often. And anyhow, I get around. I'm easy to find on the internet.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for coming along.
Always fun.
I'd have you on the Mac show, but the executive producers booked 25 people for tomorrow.
What? I totally get it.
Atlee, where are you, pal?
You can reach me on Twitter and Instagram at @AtleeHunter and at my website at AtleeHunter.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. And Ian, where are you, sir?
I'm on the Slack room at TIOA, BOA, turn it up and back on again, on Twitter on the same one occasionally. Do hit me up, Atlee. Happy to come on the Windows show with you. And I'll be training in Reading if people learn about Commvault. I'll be there next week teaching the Commvault Certified Professional course. That was a work-related pug, but no one's going to come on that. That's like 20. That's like 10 grand.
Deepan has suggested. Deepan has suggested that he bet. I bet you felt like a right tit there, Brini, because red wine came out the left. Where are you, Muller?
I'm Muller Biker on Twitter, and I can not be found anywhere else, really.
Okay, and. Ellis.
Skyline 1015 underscore Twitch on Instagram. Skyline 1015 on Twitter and Skyline 1015 on Twitter. There you go.
All right, cool. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can follow the network at British Tech on Twitter as well. Don't forget to say thank you to our sponsors, people that support us, Telestream, and to TSO Host. We would be lost without them. And thanks to the people that donate as well. I need to do a feature each week that says who knows the people who donate to us. But you can donate via patreon.com/British Tech Network, or you can go to our subscriptions page and give us $5, $10, or $15 a month. It's entirely up to you. We'll see you tomorrow for the Mac show, and we'll be back again next week with the big show as normal time. Oh, we're on Wednesday. No, we're not on Wednesday next week. We're back on the normal time. Have a great weekend.